Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
There's an old saying in radio that I think we made up last week. Sometimes you just have too much show and not enough time. That's how I feel today.
Yes.
Herm Edwards, bottom of the hour. We've been trying to get to Malik Monk's comments on the booze last night. Mike Brown, we have coming up just a few moments here. Mike Brown broke down where the Kings defense broke down last night. Not just, we need to get our hands up. He's like, this guy did this and then did that, and he needs to do this, and he didn't. And so we have that coming up as well. First, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. TC is back with us. TC, thanks for joining us today. We needed to hear from you on this difficult day. What's up? TC? Hello?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we got you.
What's up, TC?
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, look, I'm angry just like y'all. Listen, before we get started, the only thing I can say this situation is Dillon Hayes and Spencer Dinwiddie. If they're already, we can go buy them on the buyout market and give them league minimums. Other than that, Monty dropped the ball, bro. Unless this summer is going to be some type of, they made a move for Paul George and they're bringing this guy in and LeBron's thinking about coming the second. That's the only thing that's going to save this, bro. Like 2 years in a row, I love Monty. I love Mike. But Monty, bro, we have to stop doing this. We have to shake it up. I know we want to keep the camaraderie, but these dudes ain't caring. I love Monk. Like I told my boys, look, I got a statement Monk jersey that just came in the mail a few days ago. But I wasn't feeling that about what he was talking about the fans. What do you expect, bro? How are we caring more about wins and losses than you dudes? You dudes is getting up here super nonchalant and not caring about nothing. Talking about, we got to do this. The energy, I'm not really tripping. It's one game out of 82. Oh, man, we'll be all right. No, it's not, bro. Before you look up, we'll be out the plan.
Nah, you're right. Thank you, TC. I like your passion, man. You're 100% right. That's the thing. And I know they're professionals. And I know they play 82 games. You know, they shouldn't get as high and low and be on a roller coaster like we are. But show me a pulse after a game like that.
Right. I'm giving Fox the benefit of the doubt in this regard. I agree with you, TC.
Tell me why.
My hope is that what he showed us after the game is not how he really feels. It's not what he's really shown the team in practice today.
Okay.
I hope if he's really like, that's terrible. So I'm hoping that he shows us one thing, but when push comes to shove, he's like, hey, fellas, hello, what the?
What was that
last night? But yes. I don't really know. I'm assuming I don't really know.
Well, you're saying he's going to say the words that Kevin Herter told the ref? Is that what it is?
Yeah. And by the way, Herter said that he dropped F-bombs both times, right?
Yeah, double F-bombs.
Yeah. So he got the first one, then he said
then
it again.
Then he did it again. Yeah.
He said the same thing twice. He said, that's a bleeping foul, teed, and then said.
And it was, right? That's when Monk got hit in the head.
Right.
Yeah. And he said, it's a bleeping foul and got ejected.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, and this is the problem that I'm finding with the Kings right now. Mike Brown last night called it unacceptable. Jay Triano right here on Sactown Sports 1140 last hour called it unacceptable. Have we heard a player call it unacceptable? I don't know. I don't know if we have or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be unacceptable for the players too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about. Somebody in the locker room, somebody to come out and be like, yo, that's unacceptable. We don't have that. Our guys are, Malik spoke up, Domas a little bit, De'Aaron not so much. And we need more fire and passion from our guys, It's like
At least one of them, right?
Yeah, you can't accept losing, man. You accept losing, then what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You didn't have no manners.
They got no mobbles. We have Malik Monk, his thoughts after the game last night. By the way, listen to this. And again, I'm not making excuses, but Malik here and a lot of the players talking about last night, they sound less angry and more like confused. They don't know what, I don't know what happened. I'm not saying they shouldn't be angry, but anyway, here was Malik Monk post-game in the locker room.
Yeah, they was booing. I don't like that. I play too hard for that, to get booed for strong like that. I was just thinking we lost to Detroit. What went wrong? And just being mad. Basically just being mad, man. I'm going to go home and be mad some more and forget about it tomorrow.
That was he was answering a question, I think, from Sean Cunningham, because that was one moment at the very end of the game. Malik was like just off by himself, and he asked, what was going through your head? What did you think of the boos? And he didn't care for the boos. But,
right.
He's going to hear it. If that continues, he's going to hear a lot more boos. If it ever happens again.
Yeah. You know, I want to break what he said down into two parts. I like the fact that he said he was mad and he's going to go home and be mad some more. That's how you should be. Shouldn't be going home and forget about it, you know? Wake up today, really, it should still sting today, too, to be honest with you.
Especially when you got practice.
Right, you got practice. And Jay Triano mentioned it. It still stings. But the booing situation, to me, when fans boo, I'm all for booing. If the team's not getting it done, boo. But also, if you don't like the booing, then play better. Don't give the fans a reason to boo. And too many times, this was a culmination of all season long. Fans have seen enough. We are tired. Like, I can't tell you how many fans walked into that arena last night and were worried about that game because they've seen it time and time again with this team that you come up short against a bad team, a shorthanded team. And so that's where the boos. The fans are frustrated too, Malik. And I understand you don't like the booing. I get it. I wouldn't like it either. But you got to play better. Mm-hmm. You don't want the booing, play better. Don't get to this point where we got four or five, six losses that are horrible losses. This is the fans voicing their frustration. And the booing shows me that fans care.
Is there a lack of effort? Is that what fans are booing? Are we booing, I didn't boo, but fan. Are we booing, as you said, just the fact that, not again, we can't keep doing this? Are we booing because our expectations are maybe a little out of whack?
No, I don't think our expectations are out of whack at all. I think this team is good enough to be a top five team in the Western Conference, top six team in the Western Conference. And at the end of the season, it will be proven that this team is good enough. Because we'll look back on those losses that I just talked about and realize, man, if we would have won those games, we wouldn't be in the play-in right now. I think what you know, and Jay Triano mentioned it too. The effort and focus wasn't there last night. And so this isn't Whitey talking. This isn't Drapes talking. This is an assistant coach echoing.
See, that's so hard for me to believe. He obviously knows.
Right.
But how in the world do you walk into that again after you've let it happen to you?
That's why the fans are booing right there. That is 100% why the fans are booing. If this was the first time this happened, you'd be shocked like, man, what happened tonight? I mean, it's okay, but it's time and time and time again. I forget. I think it was the Pelicans game. You know, we were excited. The one where they beat us 33, you know.
On the Sunday afternoon.
Fans came into that building. They were ready. They were amped up. Our team was going to be ready. And the fans left that building. They were booing. You know, I had, you know, I think I did the pre and post game that day. I had fans yelling, Drapes, what is this? And so the fans are frustrated right now. Forget the 29-21. I understand that's nice. Good record, solid record. But 29-21, when you got four or five really bad losses, not just losses, bad losses they've had.
Well, here's the thing, too, to your point. 29-21, hey, that's great. This year it's not. It's not great. It's good for seventh.
Right, right.
So if you want to be competitive, you have to be better than that. And if you'd won these games that you just throw away, like, oh, what's this? Don't need this.
Right.
You would be better.
Right.
Yeah.
You
so
would
someone
be
say,
better.
Hey, 29-21. So what?
So what?
You're seventh.
You're
right
seventh.
Now.
You should be 34-17 right now.
To your point, Drapes, if they had won last night, they would have been 30-20. That is exactly a 48-game pace, which is the same number of games they won last year. So it's the same pace that they were on last year, which got them the 3 seed. But this year, they would have been 5, 6, or 7.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
Let's talk to Matt here on Sackdown Sports. Thanks for calling, Matt. What's up?
Of course. Hey, guys. Love the show. Whitey, glad to have you back on Sackdown
Sports.
Thank
you, Matt. Thanks.
You know, when it comes to the trade deadline and Monty, we were all up in arms last year, too, at the same time when we didn't make a move. And look what happened. We had a great second half of the season, finished third. I think they played really good basketball after the break last year. You know, that could be the same situation this year. I know that people don't like Sam and Pat, but was there anything out there that was really going to get us to the finals, win us the finals this year? I don't know. When it comes to Kings playing basketball, some nights I watch them and I'm like, holy cow, we're better than we were last year when they're playing, you know, high-level Kings basketball. And then there's nights like last night where I'm like, oh, my goodness, we're worse than we were last year. hoping that the Kings can play King basketball in the second half. This is a make or miss league, as you know, they like to say, which is one of my favorite quotes ever. And last night, I mean, wide open layups at the rim, Fox missing, jumpers that Fox would normally make missing, shots weren't going down. And I think that is the Kings' biggest problem, missing shots, not taking bad shots like they used to, but missing shots, you know, that they were last year or on some nights do make and on some nights don't. And that's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate
Matt sounds
that, Matt.
Like he's almost like a basketball analytics guy and trying to act like he's
right?
not. He makes some really, you know, some pretty keen points there. I agree with you, Matt, on the trade deadline, but it's just it's not a popular view today because people are so frustrated, which I understand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And people are frustrated and they don't want to hear, you know, it's a make-miss league. Really, the problem that the Kings are having is every time we face a team, they're making shots. So, yeah, it's a make-miss league. But how come we can't do something about it to stop Detroit, Orlando, Charlotte, all these teams from coming in town and making all these shots?
You know what's really funny about what Jay Triano said? He said, you know, it seems like sometimes teams come in here and there's a guy you'd never think
right.
of. And now last night it wasn't because Jaden Ivey's really good. But Jay, that's been going on here
yeah.
since like 1985.
Right.
You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that's been going on a long time.
I'm surprised we didn't get the call. How come we can't get Mike Muscala? You know,
yeah,
like, why come we can't go out there and get him? Alec Burks. We should have got Alec Burks. You
yeah.
know?
Well, we still have a second chance because Furkan Korkmaz has been waived by the Pacers.
Okay,
so we have
okay.
a makeup chance here.
Yeah. I mean, that's a popular parlor game. You look at the game and you go, all right, who on the other team that we've never heard of is going to light us up tonight? You know, who's got Reith Dwap? Who's got Reith Dwap? Anybody? I'll take him.
Give Jason Ross credit, though, because yesterday pregame we were joking. He's like, you know, Alec Burks in a game like this could go for 40.
Right.
And I looked it up. I'm like, he has never gone for 40 in his career. And then we looked up and he had like 20 at halftime.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
oh, he's on pace for 40.
Back to the phones. Also, we'll hear from Mike Brown on how exactly the Kings defense broke down last night when we come right back. And we got the great Herm Edwards bottom of the hour with the Drive Guys Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
By the way, did you hear that the in-season tournament has a sponsor now?
I did hear that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Emirates Airlines. So the Saudis are...
Saudis coming into
basketball
now. Yeah,
here they come. Here they come. Mm,
took over golf. Now they're doing this. Wow.
Wait. Is it the Saudis or the United Arab Emirates?
It's the airline, Emirates Airline, which is funded, I believe, by the Saudi government.
Okay.
So,
all right,
yeah.
there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyways, just
yeah.
name confused me there. Okay.
So all the NBA cares about, of course, is cha-ching!
Cha-ching, the dollars. Dollar bill, y'all.
Uh-huh. So it's the, they'll be playing next year for the Emirates Cup.
Now, hold on, before we move on. You know this is Taylor Swift right here, right?
I have
right.
no idea.
You're not acknowledging. Kyle's coming back with Taylor Swift after every break.
At least the last few.
The last couple, yeah.
Well, we haven't talked any football today, so we got to,
you
know.
You guys realize this is Sacramento, right? There's a lot of 49er fans. And
yeah.
you two are like, yeah, Chiefs, yeah.
Woo!
It's a lot of Chiefs
there
fans
you go.
Out there,
Drapes?
Too, baby. There's a lot of Chiefs fans out here, too.
Drapes is coming around to the right side of history. That's all I'm hearing.
He's a mercenary. He's an anti-49er mercenary.
Oh, and I love that about it. As a football anarchist myself, I love this.
Herm Edwards, bottom of
our
the
guy, Herm yeah. Edwards.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Steven joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Steven.
Hi, Whitey. Hi, Kyle.
What's
hey,
up?
What's up,
how's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, are you the guy that was on with Carmichael Dave a couple days ago and you gave me credit for the boat racing thing?
Yeah, that was me.
I appreciate
oh, snap.
That. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, absolutely, man. I got to give you credit, man. You come out here with, you come out the woodwork with, actually, speaking of coming out the woodwork, I looked that up yesterday and that was interesting. That was really interesting. So speaking of which, when you turn the lights on, all the bugs come out the woodwork.
Right.
So,
oh,
you know,
okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly. all right. I'm upset. I'm gonna be Freddy the fan here, Drapes.
Let me
I'm
hear.
Gonna be Freddy the fan here.
Yeah.
All right, you ready? You guys ready for it? Can I vent as a diehard Kings fan?
Yes, please. The floor is yours.
Okay. I appreciate you guys giving me the floor. All right. So we always hear that Monty is calculated and he's disciplined. And, well, he's been calculating for the last 2 years in my eyes, okay? He's been calculated and he's been measured for the last 2 years, okay? Mm-hmm. This is a very upset fan base because we're settling on, I feel like, I don't want to say the Kings are mediocre because we're, you know, we're on pace to either match our season high last year, or maybe we could beat it, or maybe we have less as far as the, you know, winning games, 48 mm-hmm. games, you know what I'm saying? 50 games, 46 games, it really doesn't matter. It really seems like Monty is settling on mediocrity. Okay. I feel like the team is kind of mediocre. We had the best in, we had a historical offensive scoring unit last year. Okay. And then the trade deadline happened. We were eyeing Jared Vanderbilt. We were eyeing Rui Hachimura. I remember all these names and they all just went bye-bye. We're watching all of these dominoes. It's like a game of guess who. Okay. We're watching all of these faces and all of these names get plucked off one by one. All right. So now we move on to this year. Now everyone else got so much better because look at the historical scoring this year compared to last year. There are like, what, 6 to 8 teams that are blowing us out of the water. And that shows to me that we are still stagnant. We have stayed put. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that we stayed put at all in any way, shape, or form. I also get the fact that, like, making a move to make a move can be the wrong move, can be very detrimental to building up a solid, chemistry-bounded team. But also not making a move can be just as detrimental. I get that we want to save vibes here. We want to make sure the locker room is tight. It does win you games, but it doesn't win you games. Gotcha. That vibe that's in our locker room, our great energy and all the brotherhood and stuff like that, it hasn't been winning us games, and it's been showing.
Thank you, Steven. Yeah, I apologize, Steve. We got some other things we got to get to. Thank you for the call. First of all, the Kings are not mediocre. I understand your point. I know at times they look mediocre. As you probably know, mediocre means you're not good, you're not bad, you're mediocre. Kings are good. They're not mediocre.
Right.
They don't look great at times. As far as the locker room chemistry, I don't know how you feel, Drapes. You may know. I don't think they're overly concerned with, gee, we want guys to get along. You know, yeah, they want to keep the core together, but not because they get along. They think it's their best chance to win.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we can't do that because then someone will be upset.
No, I don't think so. I think this team and this franchise and this general manager group, they're all about putting together the best roster to win. And it may be you don't want to bring in a malcontent that would upset the apple cart. Yeah.
Right.
Because that would impact winning.
Yeah.
It's not about I don't want to upset this guy. It's about how would that affect the team
right.
and its ability to win games. I think that's, you know, their focus.
Here's where I think the Kings run into an issue right now. It's like, how do we get better? Small market team. You look at small market teams. They don't have the means that big market teams have to improve. So look at Oklahoma City currently. Look at Utah a few years ago. You know, Utah's now they're kind of in a rebuild again. But Utah built through the draft, and they got, whoa, we got Donovan Mitchell. Well, we got Rudy Gobert. And they drafted those guys, and they built a team that was a really good team and a legitimate contender in the West. And then it eventually fell apart. Now they're kind of in a rebuild again. Oklahoma City, they went to the finals, right, with Durant and Westbrook, and they had Harden. And they had Serge Ibaka, the Rimmer Rocket, right? Then they had to tear it down. Well, look where they are now. They built through the draft. So it really behooves small market teams to build through the draft. The Kings never tore it down and built through the draft, right? I mean, they had some good draft picks, but they never tore it down. And so now, even now, it's like, well, you got Sabonis. You don't – all these guys, this is not a homegrown – you got Harrison Barnes in here. And so now, all right, now how do we get better from here? A team that's built through the draft, well, we have these picks. We also have our younger players, and they're continuing to get better and better and better. Right now, the Kings have – Keegan can get better, right? Other than that, Davion maybe. So
who
it's tough
who has the
right
upside,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where they are right now, it's tough. That path forward to improvement, it's tough because you're not going to bring in free agents. And as we're finding out, making trades is tricky as well.
And they're almost stuck in no man's land, like in terms of this is what it, this is it, you know, this is, you know, how do you make the improvements? And it's proven to be harder, more difficult than thought of, because I can't imagine that Monty just said, you know what, I'm going to run it back. I'm not going to do anything. You talked about it earlier. They were in on Pascal. They were in on OG. So they see the need to upgrade, but yet they haven't been able to do it so far.
Right, right. Okay, let's see here. We're going to share with you now. We got Herm Edwards coming up.
Yeah.
But this is Mike Brown last night explaining, you know, hey, the Kings defense wasn't very good last night. We all say, oh, they didn't defend well. Here's Mike Brown explaining exactly where the Kings defense fell flat last night.
Trying to convince our guys that, hey, don't worry about the offense. The offense is going to be up. We didn't play well offensively tonight. We scored 120 points. That's enough to win a ball game. Mm-hmm. But we're making the same mistakes over and over again defensively, and we don't understand how important it is to figure that out sooner than later. And that's concerning to me. It was concerning in the Cleveland game. It's concerning tonight. Hopefully it could change going forward because, yes, you go 5-2, you feel good about your record, but, you know, you feel and see things that aren't good, especially long term to be able to sustain what you feel and hope your record can be, if that makes sense. Literally practiced closing out today. We practice defending the ball in the pick and roll. We couldn't close out to hot guys. We haven't been able to close out to hot guys. And that's been a part of, you know, although we were winning, that still has been a struggle for us for the most part. We've had stretches where we've been okay with it. And then the pick and roll. I mean, obviously I'm going to look at it, but I'd love to see where we rank defensively in the pick and roll game. Because tonight it was not good. Almost every time somebody came out the pick and roll, they got around us and collapsed our defense.
And then once the defense collapses, then you've got shooters all over the place, 3-point line, just give me the
just
ball.
Just give me the ball. Eyes and open, wide eyes.
How many times, I was thinking on the road trip, how many times did Kyle Draper say on the telecast, Kings in scramble mode?
Yep.
A lot.
A lot.
I don't know about last night. I didn't hear you, but you've been saying that a lot, right?
And teams are just breaking down our defense.
Yes.
And the book is out on the Kings, you know? Drive, get past the guy, and then they're in scramble mode, and then you got shooters out there. That's like the recipe for every NBA team. That's what everybody wants to do, is break you down, get into the paint, spray out for the threes. And if you don't have perimeter defenders that can lock guys down, stay in front of you, you're playing 4-on-5. Yep, 100% right.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the big problems with the Kings right now. And until they can get that consistently figured out, I think we're going to be prone to these ups and downs. But again, Jay Triano was on. I asked him, is that the reason why? Is it the defense? He said, yeah, it's not. You can't blame it all on the defense. He said the offense has been inconsistent, too. Herm Edwards joins us when we come back. We'll focus a little bit here on the Super Bowl. Speaking of defense, will defense win the day at this year's Super Bowl? We'll find out from legendary coach player Herm Edwards next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Domantas Sabonis plays here.
He finds Sabonis. Put the frosting on the cake. Put the cherry on the sundae. Sabonis with a two-hand flush makes it 114-106.
Sacktown Sports is your proud home of the Sacramento.
The Drive Guys, live and local. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
It's always a treat, and frankly, it's an honor and a privilege to welcome our next guest to the show, ESPN analyst, former NFL college head coach, 10-year NFL defensive back, Herm Edwards. And Coach, we appreciate your time. I'm just looking here. Super Bowl 15, when your Eagles were in the Super Bowl. The national anthem performed by Helen O'Connell. I don't know who that is. Halftime show, Jim Skinner Productions presents Mardi Gras Festival. And you just look at how much bigger it is now. Did you have any idea how big the Super Bowl would become back when your Eagles were in it?
No, you couldn't imagine what it is, you know, right now. And to the tickets, I mean, we were sitting there looking at trying to buy extra tickets. And they were like, I want to say $75
And we were going, man, that's a lot of money for tickets. And then I heard the price on these tickets, and I'm going, oh, my God. Good.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, a lot has changed. Coach Herm Edwards joining us. Coach, when you look at this Super Bowl matchup, Chiefs and Niners, just talk about how big this is for the NFL. Obviously, Niners a great fan base. Patrick Mahomes, the face of the league. You know, some are predicting this will be the most watched Super Bowl ever. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, I think, you know, we've seen this before, right? And when you think about San Francisco, historically, you know, the last time, you know, they won a Super Bowl was 1994. I'll say that again. That's the last time they won one.
Now, I remind them that every day. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm an Eagles fan. So I remind the Niners fans that, hey, y'all ain't winning about three decades. I remind them that every day.
Yeah, but we got our own problems. So let's don't even go there.
All right.
Anyway, and they won one, obviously, in 2020. But I think this was the team going into the season, you know, when everyone felt that it was one of the better teams on the NFC side of it. For sure, and it turned out to be that to be the case. Now, when they got in the playoffs, obviously they stumbled early in two games. They got behind, but you know, Purdy all of a sudden, not the quote unquote guy that only can play from the pocket. You know, he did some things, brought them back. Kudos to them. Kansas City obviously got off to a slow start. Patrick Mahomes and his receiving core didn't know who to trust. Right, Pacheco became big in the offense. We knew Kelsey was going to be there, but they ended up finding somebody in Rice. And I think what got pushed to the side really is when Kansas City was winning these games, their defense, how good their defense is. And so, you know, both these teams pride themselves defensively. You know, 49ers, big time defense, got a lot of good players over there. And both teams seem to run the ball. You know, Andy Reid's an old run coach. I mean, he was an offensive line coach before he came this Hall of Fame head coach. So this will be an interesting game. I just think, you know, it's like any other Super Bowl. I think it won't be too big for either one of the teams. A lot of these players have played in this game. Purdy has not, but he's shown the wherewithal that when he was in two playoff games and they got behind, he found a way to bring his team back, and that's kudos to him.
Herm Edwards, our guest, and Coach, speaking of Purdy, and, you know, we don't need to have that old conversation about game manager, but if I'm not mistaken, you were at ASU when he was in high school there, so you got to see him. Why do you think so many people were unable to see what Brock Purdy was going to become?
Well, I don't know that so much. I think he goes to college, obviously, and, you know, has a good season up there. You know, the draft comes, and obviously, you know, quarterback is always, you know, they're always looking for the new the new Patrick Mahomes or a guy that can run. And he was a guy, all he did was win. And then I laugh, you know, because he's Mr. Irrelevant. Okay, so as soon as you get that tag, for some reason, it's like, oh, he's Mr. Irrelevant. That means, well, he can't, you know, he's not a first-round pick. Well, last time I checked, Joe Montana was a fourth-round pick. And Captain America, you know, who I call Captain America, Tom Brady, was a sixth-round pick. And no one says when they were, you know, climbing up the ladder and winning all these games, well, hey, he was a fourth-round pick. Right. But every time Purdy does something, they say he's Mr. Irrelevant. And I'm like, he's relevant, actually. He's just playing a position. Just look at him play. But I think that almost tags you, you know, you have this tag for the rest of your life. You are Mr. Irrelevant.
Herm Edwards, 9 years, I believe it was, with the Philadelphia Eagles, Fly Eagle Fly coach. You know, when you look at
– he didn't come on here to talk about the Eagles.
We can talk about Eagles all day, Coach.
And just remind him, I had 38 interceptions, too, since you're talking about the Eagles.
Oh, you want me to – okay, I got the stats right here. Yeah,
well, 33 in the regular season, but in big games, like playoff games, I had another five. That's 38 last
38.
Time.
38. Fumble recoveries, too. Let's count that,
oh,
too. Yeah,
you definitely.
Exactly. We know about that. You also coach the Chiefs. But how much does coaching slash quarterbacking matter in the Super Bowl? Because I bring this up because Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, to me, they have the advantage when it comes to that because they've been there before, they've done that. How much of a factor do you think that could be come Sunday?
Well, it's a factor, but it's a factor with the guy that plays with the ball. And they got the best quarterback
on the planet. You know, he's a unicorn. I mean, he's chasing history. You know, we know who he's chasing. He's chasing Captain America. Mm. You know, he's going to try to pass Joe Legend here next with San Francisco. But that's the uniqueness of Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, he's a generational guy. I mean, you don't see this often. I mean, we thought that when Brady made his run with New England, everybody said, that's it. No one's going to do this again. Now all of a sudden the Chiefs are kind of finding a way with this quarterback to do a lot of things. You know? So it's interesting. I just think it's going to be a heck of a game. That's what you want. You always want a good game in the Super Bowl. I think the fans are excited about it. And I think I'm hoping for the 49ers' sake it doesn't come down to a field goal. Ooh. Because that's the shakiness. Yes. That's the shakiness for them, right? I mean, it is. If you want to look at the kickers, Kansas City's got a really good kicker.
Yeah.
49ers have a young guy. And you think those games were big before for this guy? Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Herm Edwards, our guest here. How would you say, Coach, that Kyle Shanahan's offense and just overall style, how is it similar to his dad, and how in some ways might it be different?
It's West Coast. I mean, and they're going to run the ball. And they always feature a running back that can run and catch. You go back to 49ers, you know, historically, Roger Craig and those guys. I mean, they caught the ball out of the backfield. They could run the ball inside. They use the tight end. It's a quick passing game. It's timely. Although Purdy was able to play off script some.
Yeah.
And that's unusual in that offense, but he needed to play off script, right? So it's a unique offense. And he has similar traits. You know, he comes from Holmgren. I mean, he's the West Coast guy. These guys all, you know, I remember, look, I was in that era when these guys were forming. You know, just think, what is the West Coast deal?
Right,
like,
right.
West Coast deal, right? And so, you know, I think there's always little spinoffs. I mean, when you look at Joe was similar to Purdy. Played in the pocket, could move in the pocket. Was a good athlete.
Could you say that one more time, Coach? Could you say that one more time? Because I've made that comparison on this show and my partner.
You know, Joe could move, but Joe wanted to beat you from the pocket, rightly so. And, you know, Joe came to us in Kansas City when I was actually there coaching.
Oh, yeah.
And I played against Joe. And then you got Steve to follow him, Young. Same offense, but guess what? He had some legs on him. Now he can run. So that brought another dimension to it, right? When Coach Harbaugh was there, he had a guy by Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Mm. And everybody said, what is he doing? He's running this quarterback. He was way ahead of anybody, everybody, because everybody's running. You got to run a quarterback now in the NFL. It's okay. Go ahead and run.
Yeah.
Go ahead and run, right? So it's interesting how it's evolved.
Coach, how do you think the Niners' first two games in the playoffs, they had to squeak by the Packers, had to squeak by the Lions. Does that impact anything we'll see on Sunday, a way a team is playing 2 weeks before they actually take on and play the Super Bowl?
They played from deficits, and here's the concerning part, and I know they've talked about this a lot, they've probably practiced a lot. Look, people are running the ball on them on the edges. Hmm. Green Bay ran for 136, and the Lions went 180. And they're making their corners support it, and they're making them tackle on the edges. They got to get that fixed. They got to get that fixed now, because you think these Kansas City Chiefs won't run the football? They're going to run the football. Mm-hmm. And there lies the problem, because when you're running the ball like that, you know, you're not in a lot of third and longs. And that's what you want to get the Chiefs in, because they got problems. They got 58 fouls on offense. And, you know, they got a lot of holding calls, a lot of false starts. Mm-hmm. So you've got guys that can rush the quarterback. You got Bosa sitting over there. You know, Young, hopefully, he figures out, you know, I'm in the Super Bowl. I come to the 49ers. I live in Washington. I come to I need to get going. This is the last game of the season. I need to get going, right? That's what you're hoping. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, and I think that the main thing is, when we look at this deal with Kansas City, at the end of the day, do they have an answer for Kelce? Mm-mm. Because if you don't have an answer for them, it ain't going to matter, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is fabulous when it comes to playoff competition. He's played in 21 games. He's got 19 touchdowns and 156 catches in playoff competition. So you better figure out how to cover him. And I don't know if anybody can, but you better kind of figure out where he's at.
Yeah. So how much of this game, Coach, and Herm Edwards with us, how much of it would come down to the 49ers front, as you're saying, their ability to slow down or stop the run and then actually get pressure on Mahomes?
Critical. And I think what they might do a little bit, Coach Wolf there, is bring pressure on first down.
Ah.
To shore up that run defense a little bit. Just go ahead. Go ahead and do it. The Super Bowl, man. Go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and bring some pressure on. Give them some different ways of all of a sudden, oh, I thought it looked like this, and it's not. You know, you bring an extra guy against that run, and all of a sudden you might get some losses on first down. And so that's going to be important because I think 49ers have two fabulous linebackers now. That Warner and Greenlaw, I'm tell you what, man, they are fun to watch, boy. They cover a lot of ground and make up for a lot of mistakes, you know. But you got to help them some, too. And I think it'll be a game where I think both teams will try to run the ball, establish a line of scrimmage, and then from there the passing comes into play.
Coach, can the Chiefs win a shootout if this game is 38-35? I know their offense has struggled during the regular season, but can they match wits with the Niners when it comes to scoring the ball?
Yeah, they got enough guys. I mean, you know, they got Kelce. They got Rice now. Rice can do some things. You know, Pacheco catches the ball out of the backfield some. And, you know, Mahomes, you know, he makes him so unique. I mean, he runs to find angles to throw. Mm-hmm. He don't run, it's just run. You know, and that's what gets you. If you let him mess around, you know, I would prefer him just drop back and go ahead and beat us. Don't let him start moving, because when he starts moving, all bets are off. Then Kelce and those guys play schoolyard football, and they're the best two at it in the league.
Hmm. Coach, I know that you've lived in Northern California a long time, but you coached the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So would you be willing to share with us who you want to win this game and who you think will win the game?
You make the point. We still live here in Carmel. John Lynch, you guys know, look, he is he's part of the family, man. I mean, he's my son's godfather.
Yeah.
And we're the godparents of one of his daughters. So that's big on my list there, you know.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the Chiefs give me my first job in the NFL as a scout and as a coach. That was the Hunt family. So, you know, I look at this and go, hey, man, I just got to sit and watch it, right? I just got to sit and watch it. and I'm torn, you know. I'm torn. I'm torn, you know. And Kansas City's, they're really good. They're going for history. I would like to see John, you know, win one, him and Coach Shanahan, because I think, you know, they've done a nice job there. And if they have the opportunity to win this, it's going to be a big win for them. But it ain't going to be easy, guys. It won't be easy against this Chiefs team.
All right. Thanks very much for your time, sir. We appreciate it more than you know. Enjoy the game, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Coach.
All right. Herm Edwards.
That was great.
Yeah. I forgot to ask him to tell our texters to put your
name on it. We could have had that clip too, right? Like, we could have had that saved in the system. Oh, you dropped the ball in that one.
Yeah,
dude.
I did.
Darn.
I dropped the ball, and he picked it up and
took it in.
For a touchdown. When we come back, we'll get back to the Kings conversation. Also, what is it about Shanahan's system that makes it easier for Brock Purdy to complete passes? We'll take a look at that as well here as we roll on with the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports.
Jiffy Lube, a proud partner of Sactown Sports, is sending Styles and Watkins on the road to Las Vegas.
Oh, road trip!
Starting Wednesday from 10 to 2, join the guys live from Radio Row as they get exclusive interviews to prep you for the big game.
Vegas, baby!
It's Styles and Watkins live from Vegas, all part of our Jiffy Lube road trip on Sactown Sports and the Sactown Sports app. Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SactownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sactown Sports app.
Pull up, park, ski. It's that easy at Sierra at Tahoe. Sactown Sports is teamed up with Sierra at Tahoe. This winter, all you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now, looking for caller number 13 to win a...
Yeah!
13 to win a pair of lift tickets to experience Sierra at Tahoe this winter. Terms and conditions apply. For more information, visit SactownSports.com. What you doing there, Kyle Draper?
Yeah, it was a little warm in here, so I just wanted to switch into a short sleeve shirt, you know, come up with something a little different. My girl Taylor Swift playing here in the background, and I'm in Super Bowl mode right now. And what are you doing? Wait.
Oh, number 13.
What are you doing over there?
Oh, see, I thought you were doing 13 because of Taylor Swift, you know? No. Her favorite number and all that?
Yeah.
You say so.
We ain't got no football in here. Hold on for a second. Hold on.
I'll bring one tomorrow.
Well, you guys are going to be at the arena tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whitey, get the helmet of eternal glory.
Yeah.
Blue 42. Omaha. Let's go.
Oh, God. What is Mahomes' one? I know what it is, too. I'm trying to remember what his audible call sign is, but I can't remember what it is right now. Ugh.
Real quick, saw something very interesting today. You talk a lot, Drapes, as a lot of people do, about how Brock Purdy, it's easier for him to complete passes in the Shanahan offense. And I'm not arguing with you. I was looking at that today. Interesting piece in The Athletic. Well, why is that? And they point out this, you know, a few years ago, last time the 49ers were in the Super Bowl, in fact, there were a lot of play action, because, you know, you fake the run, set up the run, and then you freeze the linebackers and you throw it behind them, basically. They're not, the number of play action plays the 49ers run now, it's way down because they figured out with their sets, as long as Juszczyk is on the field, basically the threat of the run is there. So, that's what Kyle Shanahan said. He says, if I have the fullback on the field, the other team, they don't know if we're going to run or not. So Brock Purdy now, he's able to run basically the same plays, but he doesn't have to do play action, so he never has to turn his back.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's like Juszczyk's on there. So the linebackers are still not sure, and then they're running the same stuff, and Purdy has lanes because the 49ers put the – okay, we have – they have something called, I think it's bump motion, where with McCaffrey, he'll kind of like – do it like a lateral little hop like this. And if you're the linebacker, you're like, what's he going to do? And so that's what creates some of the space, depending on what the defense has to react. They got Juszczyk there. Yep. What's McCaffrey doing? And then obviously Brock Purdy recognizes. And that's one of the things that creates these lanes for him.
And more time to process, too.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have to turn your back
and
act like
you don't have to take your eyes off,
you can process it much more quicker. And so, that's something to notice, watch for Sunday.
It's really interesting, but Shanahan, as brilliant as he is offensively, he needs at some point to win one of these.
100%, right?
Yeah.
Like he's been there as a coach, been there as a coordinator, and has always come up short.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's come up short, we mentioned, the 10-point lead late. We mentioned the 28-3 game with the Falcons. Like these are like ones where you think you got it, and it's snatched from you. And so you're right. He has to win one. Those are the worst, man.
Yes.
You know, because you could argue, I would imagine too, in that game with the Falcons. Patriots,
yeah.
They thought they probably might have been the better team that game. Like, we had them. Same thing with the Chiefs and Niners a few years ago. Like, we were the better team. We should have had that one.
And we had the lead in the fourth.
You had the lead in the fourth. And so, is he the one with the most pressure this week? You got to get it. Like, Brock Purdy is sort of... It's just his first time. If he doesn't have a great game, it's understandable.
Yeah, you know? I think it's Shanahan, but I could certainly understand the argument that it's Purdy because in the eyes of many, he still isn't proven anything yet. So now you're in the Super Bowl. Now let's see. You know, all the people that think he's going to turn into a pumpkin is like, well, I mean, if he does now, you're right, correct? But I still think for Shanahan, dude, at some point you got to win. But as you know, better than most, being from Philly, and I'm not taking a shot, Andy Reid for a long time was like, this guy can't win the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah. Exactly. He's good.
Now he's running for his third.
Right, and I think that's what it is with Shanahan, too, to an extent. It's like, good coach, good regular season coach, but can't get you over the top. Like, that will be the narrative. And so I think he may have the most to gain out of anybody from this weekend's game.
The coolest thing about that jersey that you have on is that AFC patch. I think that's so cool. Lamar Hunt, the original AFC, excuse me, AFL guys.
Yep.
You have the AFL. They still wear the AFL patch.
Yeah, that is
I think that's
cool.
Really cool. Did you see, speaking of football, did you see what the Kings were running on the video board last night while the Pistons were being introduced?
Yes, the flukiest catch in all
that
of football.
Great Ayuk, the alley Ayuk, the catch four. That was great.
That was all. Why did he run it so many times yesterday? Like
just over and over. Like, hey, Detroit, how about this?
Alienating the Chiefs and Lions fans in the building last night. You know what?
You don't have to worry about alienating the Chiefs and Lions.
Alienating your boy Drake.
It's Sacramento.
Like, what are we doing? Do we really got to relive this?
Did you hear Ronnie Lott on yesterday with the Styles and Watkins?
What'd he
say? First thing he says is, oh, man, Sacramento, we used to go up there and train. It was so hot up there. the great Niner teams. They were right up the road in Rockland.
That's where they used to train?
Right up the road, yeah.
So it's embedded here. It's ingrained here.
Yes.
I get it. I just don't want my basketball to be interrupted by football plays, you know? Like, yeah, I saw that. Just kept playing it over and over and over again.
Who was the last home game before they went on the trip?
Atlanta.
Yeah, and remember when the Hawks were shooting free throws, they were showing the Detroit Lions logo?
Yeah.
Boo!
Now that's smart. That's good stuff right there. That's smart.
All right, back to the Kings. The NBA trade deadline wrap-up. Why didn't the Kings do anything? Should they have? Where do they go from here? Next with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.